Hello, folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm going to fill in today for Melody also. You're listening to Financial Survival, and it is the second day of January, 2023. Welcome to the first live broadcast of Financial Survival. We're glad you're with us today. Melody will not be joining us today because all the markets are closed. Nothing to report on the markets, nothing to report on financial or gold or metal, precious metals. Just news today. This will be me this hour, and I hope you'll stay tuned. I hope I can pass some things on to you that are, some of them may be amusing, some of really unbelievable. A lot of financial news that's not looking so well for the country. And folks, I don't want to come out and be a pessimist with the first broadcast of the year, but 2023, I don't think it's going to be any better than 2022. I think it's going to be a lot worse in a lot of different ways. But we'll cover that as we get more into the year. But I hope you all have had a great weekend. Hope you had time to spend time with your family on New Year's Eve. And 2023 is here, ready or ready or not, it is here. And we have a lot to talk about, a lot of news to share, and at least a whole hour's worth of it. And now we know the Republicans are going to take over the House, a big whoopee. We'll share some of the things they want to do, maybe. We'll see. You know, folks, again, I'm not one to be a downer on this, but I have lived long enough to see many administrations change. I watched both houses go from one party to the other, and nothing's ever really changed for the better. Some of the states are starting to make some good moves in certain directions. We'll share that in a little bit, too. So maybe that's going to be the answer. It's not going to happen on a national scale. We know that. It just ain't going to happen, folks. I mean, there's too much control, and we just want to face the fact that normally from the bottoms up, especially in the court system, it's been destroyed. We no longer have constitutional courts or anywhere near Christian courts. We have statutory courts that make laws that are totally against everything morally right as a whole, and definitely unconstitutional laws. But nonetheless, we're going to cover news, like I said, today, and we'll get started with something here I think you'll find, well, I won't say unbelievable because it's definitely happening. It's believable. It concerns the World Economic Forum. And this is something I think people done many years ago, got out of the habit of doing this. World Economic Forum urges public to bathe once a week or less to save the planet. It never dawned on me that me taking a shower was ruining the planet. But I guess I was wrong. The World Economic Forum, or WEF, is now urging the public to shower less than once a week in the interest of combating climate change. And yeah, folks, that's really the story. In a public service announcement to the German public, state broadcaster WDR informed viewers that washing once a week is necessary to meet the goals outlined by the globalist elites as part of their Great Reset agenda. What's up with that.com reports, after all, around 100 years ago, it was still customary to bathe only once a week. Today, people almost look at you strangely if you tell them you don't shower several times a week. Supposedly, there are, in fact, numerous benefits from showering much less frequently. According to ZDF's Guga Zugovi, for example, people would maybe learn to become a little more tolerant of body odor. You know, that's something I need to work on. I need to stink more and get used to it, and so around my neighbors, too. I think we need to be tolerant of body odor, don't you? Yeah. I mean, so we stink. So what? But anyway. And the unwashed would save time in the bathroom every morning. Good gosh. Use sinks, not showers. Moreover, fitness studios could replace showers with just plain sinks. After a sweaty workout, one could freshen up in cubicle with a simple sink and a washcloth instead of using a shower cubicle. Make the weekly shower a public social event. Now, here we go. Another idea proposed by WDR is public bathing. Maybe showering or bathing could become a weekly highlight, they suggest. We would celebrate this in public bathhouses, perhaps also in the company of others. WDR also cited research from Great Britain on the impacts that lockdowns had on showering. In a YouGov survey, 17% of Britons said they shower less since the lockdowns. Among younger people aged 18 to 24, as many as 27% skip showering sometimes. So there you go. We should go down at least no more than once a week. And we don't just invite our friends and neighbors over. Let's have a public shower. I believe that's a great idea, don't you? I mean, why not? I'm sure that most people would be comfortable taking a bath and with other people around. Here we go, folks. And, of course, WEF, you know, has got to be right. After all, they are advising leaders all over the world. They have no authority to enforce anything, but they certainly do have the influence on public leaders and world leaders to change customs and lifestyles and rules and laws all over the world. So if you're just going to take a shower tonight, rethink it. If you're all sweaty from working all day, digging ditches or whatever you've been doing, working at the gym or whatever, don't worry about it. Let people get used to your stink. Don't worry about it. All right, let's move on. I mean, I'm laughing. It really isn't funny because these people breathe good air and take up good space. I don't know. House Speaker, or could be House Speaker McCarthy, the very first day, the first thing we're going to do is repeal the 87,000 IRS agents. We'll see. I hope they do. I would applaud the Republicans if they do that. Friday, during an appearance on FNC's Jesse Waters primetime, House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy teased Congress imminent upcoming actions to start 2023. First up, according to California Republican, after electing the Speaker of the House, was to repeal the 87,000 IRS agents provision passed by Congress earlier this year. Great question. The first thing we have to do is elect our Speaker. We can't do anything until we elect that Speaker, he said. And if you watch, the White House is actually pushing back on our investigations, saying we're not going to give you anything till you get this solved. So we need to be able to move forward with that. Then on the very first day, the very first thing we're going to do is repeal the 87,000 IRS agents, McCarthy continued. Another reason why the Democrats are mad at me, I think, government should be here to help you, not to go after you. Then we're going to secure our border. We'll see. Trump said he wanted to do that, and for 2 years he had really complete domination over both houses as being in charge with Republicans. But apparently the Republicans didn't want to help him secure the border a whole lot. But nonetheless, we'll see. Will they do something about it? I don't know. Let's move on. You've got to secure this border. The means of people coming across, the fentanyl that's killing our children. We need to work on our economy. That means making us energy independent. We need to hold this government accountable. Where's the origin of COVID began? Find out what the Biden family had done in the process. Make sure the FBI is not going after Americans, but actually going after crime. We've got so much work behind us, and we need to start on the very first day. So we'll see. We will see if that works out or not. I'm not going home with breath for a lot of reasons. Cutting back on the IRS agents, that would be great, because they don't need any more. You should cut all 87,000 of them out. Forget about it. Actually cut back on a lot of them that's already on there. They don't need it. But we'll see. That sounds good. It sounded good when Trump said a lot of things, too, didn't it? It sounds wonderful. Sounds like maybe they give us a little bit of hope. You see, every time we go in this so-called hope mode, we end up getting them kicked in the face, don't we? We get kicked in the face over this. We will see. This next story is, again, this is not financial, obviously, but we're going to get that in a minute. This next one is so absurd, so sad, but just typical of the day's society. Even what we used to call the conservative South, the Bible Belt. North Carolina sportscaster suspended for referencing illegal aliens during El Paso Sun Bowl score update. A radio announcer for the North Carolina State football team is suspended indefinitely after using the phrase illegal aliens during a score update about the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl game in El Paso. Folks, that's exactly what they are. If this person has any courage, he will sue this bunch of idiots, make some money and get his job back if he wants it. The city of El Paso is currently immersed in a mass migration crisis They left migrants sleeping on the city streets during freezing weather conditions over the Christmas weekend. Learfield Communications, the broadcast rights holder for North Carolina State, suspended play-by-play announcer Gary Hahn indefinitely following comments that during today's Duke's Mayo Bowl radio broadcast. During his coverage of Duke's Mayo Bowl, Hahn gave a score update on the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl in El Paso. He said, "Down among all the illegal aliens in El Paso, it's UCLA 14 and Pittsburgh 6. Shame on him. Wolfpack Sports Properties General Manager Cal Winchester, in a statement relayed by the school, said the broadcaster was suspended from his agreement indefinitely following comments made during today's Duke Mayo Bowl radio broadcast, the local newspaper report stated. You can't even say the truth using terms that were totally normal, acceptable, and right just a few years ago. Illegal aliens. I guess now they prefer undocumented immigrants. They don't want to call a spade any longer, do they? Well, this gentleman needs to stand up, Mr. Hahn, stand up and tell them that he's glad they did this, because now they're going to face a lawsuit. If it were me, I already have a law firm that I'm ready to call, a Christian law firm called Liberty Counsel that I do support financially. But nonetheless, there you go. More in the way of absolute insanity in today's society. What's next, folks? What's next? What's going to be offensive to these snowflakes next? The Second Amendment is the only carry permit needed in 25 states. I like this article. Alabama's constitutional carry law took effect January 1st, 2023, meaning law-abiding Americans in 25 states can now carry a gun for self-defense without paying the government for a fee for getting government permission. On December 14, 2022, Breitbart News noted that some 25 states have passed constitutional carry legislation, and Alabama's will take effect at the start of the year. Those states are Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. I like that. The HuffPost reported that the constitutional carry landscape was nowhere near as broad 12 years ago when Vermont and Alaska were the only constitutional carry states. But Arizona adopted constitutional carry in 2010, followed by Wyoming in 2011, and the ball kept rolling from there. And on April 12, 2022, Breitbart News observed that Governor Brian Kemp signed legislation making Georgia the 25th state to adopt constitutional carry. You know, I'm not going to get into a lot of things on the politics of this or in the law of Bible study, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it right up front. We go by the Second Amendment. It says it gives the people the right or protects the right to carry for self-protection and for family and friends and whatever. But I'll go way beyond that. We don't have the right. We call it a right. But if you look at it from God's word, it's a God-given duty for you to arm yourself. Oh, yeah. Numbers chapter 1, the war book in the Bible, teaches that anyone 20 years and older had to arm themselves to defend their families, their tribes, or what we call states, and their nation. They weren't given a right to do so. God said, you do it. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, they were rebuilding Jerusalem's walls. God commanded his people to arm themselves, carry a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. This is not a right, folks. It's a duty to defend yourself. To not do so is to commit self-murder. And in Christ himself, in Luke chapter 22, verse 36, told his disciples, "So I'm getting ready to leave now. Before, you didn't carry money or a purse or a sword, didn't anything. I was here with you, but I'm ready to leave. I'm getting ready to leave. I want you to get to carry your purse. I want you to get a sword. If you don't have a sword, sell your coat and buy one." And he didn't tell them to do that so they could clean their toenails. That was a direct commandment to his disciples. And I am a disciple of Christ. Therefore, I do arm myself. And I will defend myself, my wife, my family, and even strangers if necessary, because that's a God-given commandment. A right is something that you can exercise or not exercise. It's up to you. But for Christians that believe the Bible, to be armed is not an option. I know that shakes some people's trees. I know it does. But it doesn't change the facts. And going along with that story, gun ownership went up. Killings went down. Brazil debates why. This is the Brazil, folks. Take away the Aqua smoothies and the screwers of barbecue Brazilian meat and the four-day Texas Expo Tyro here could be a gun show anywhere in the United States. Firearm dealers from all over the world are renting booths to market Glock pistols and AR-15s, and gun rights advocates are offering lectures on how to confront violent urban crime. This is a triumph of liberty, said retired military police chief Marcelo Vernera, the executive director of the two-year-old Expo, the largest gun show in the country and the first open to civilians. We are here to show that we are good people and there is nothing wrong with loving guns. The gun owners of Brazil are proclaiming victory these days. Private gun ownership, once tightly restricted in Latin America's largest country, has grown at least sixfold in the 4 years since President Jair Bolsonaro began relaxing the rules. Now, by the way, that's now changed hands. We'll see what happens now. What's more, gun enthusiasts say it's working. The homicide rate in Brazil, one of the worst, the world's most violent countries, has fallen more than 27% since 2017. Everyone said there would be more homicides when Bolsonaro loosened the restrictions, said Paulo da Silva, 25, attending the gun show with friends, but turned out to be the opposite. I think you'll find that true about anywhere. Gun ownership by the citizens of the state or the country makes crime a lot less than other places. In West Virginia, we have some shootings. Yeah, we do. Sad to say, we do. And the town of Charleston, West Virginia, especially on the west side, has gotten pretty bad. But compared to other places like Chicago and New York City and other places, we have a very peaceful society in West Virginia. I would say this is probably a pretty accurate guess that one out of every three people, or may I say one out of every five people in this state that you pass on the street, whether you see it or not, are armed in West Virginia. I wear mine on the outside. I don't want anybody to see it for two reasons. First off, I want to see it and respect it and know that they should not bother anybody while I'm there. And secondly, I want to see that I exercise my God-given duty to defend myself and others. Some prefer to carry concealed. Go for it. That's perfectly fine. But I do what I do because I think I need to let other people see that we are ready to defend ourselves here in our little community, in our little state. I got a break, folks. A lot more to talk about. Don't y'all go away. Like a jerk, $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, never ever working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living. Oh, oh, oh.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby all the night. Oh, mercy, mercy me, mercy, all things and what they
All righty, folks, we're back, and we've got a lot more to talk about. And, you know, I was just thinking during the break, talking to our producer, Todd. I want to tell you, our producer, Todd, takes care of this program, my program. In my mind, he's the best one out there anywhere. He definitely knows what he's doing, and he's always professional and courteous, and I appreciate that. He puts up with me, so that says a lot right there. But nonetheless, I was thinking during the break, though, 2023, we're getting into it for the second day so far. I don't know what this year is going to hold. I really don't. I can look in the Bible, and I can do a little bit of prophecy teaching of New Testament prophecy and tell you what's coming in the future. I don't know the dates of it, though, when it's going to happen. But I do know for this one thing for sure, that we all have better make sure that we're walking closer to Christ than ever before. Believe me, evil is going to multiply. Deception is going to multiply. And Satan as a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. If we don't understand his devices, if we don't understand how he gets through and what he does, there's no way that we can truly understand and prepare for the future. These are things, folks, I want you to think about as the upcoming weeks and months go by. If this year goes as fast as last year, that'll be December next month. You know what I'm saying. It's happened that fast. But I want to share this news here with everybody, especially those who live in New York State. You're such a blessed state. You really are. New York State lawmakers, nation's best paid, after gifting themselves a 30% pay increase. At most employees of this country as a whole, probably get 6% or thereabouts increase in pay, which is nowhere near the inflation rate. But in New York, in both houses, oh my, have voted themselves a 30% pay increase. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a job where you could vote yourself a pay increase when you want it? Wouldn't that be so nice? And if all the benefits on top of that goes along with it. Wouldn't that be nice? You see, I always thought those people worked for me and you. I begin to find out that we actually work for them. They make the rules. They pay. They increase their pay. And we just roll over and say, yes, sir, master, and to keep your mouth shut, don't we? Don't we? We have for many, many, many decades. Members of both houses, 63 senators and 150 assembly members, are getting a pay boost of $32,000 for a new base salary of $142,000 under Governor Governor Kathy Hochul signed a day before her inauguration Sunday. So they're getting a pay increase of $32,000 a year. Do you know, I know many, many people who don't make that much a year, working 8 to 10, 12 hours a day. That's just shy of a 30% lift over the previous salary of $110,000. Democratic Party holds supermajorities in both House and New York State legislature. State lawmakers in California were previously the highest paid, with a yearly base issue of salary of $119,000, although Golden State also pays $214 per day for attending sessions of the legislature. So they get paid extra if they show up and do the job. Oh, my goodness, people, we're on the wrong end of this pay scale. New York lawmakers passed a pay raise bill during a special session in late December. Imagine that. I believe that legislatures need to be compensated for their hard work that they do. People don't realize the sacrifice they make being away from the families, Assembly Speaker Carl Hestie said ahead of that vote. Well, I wonder how many people, Mr. Hestie, are out working away from home quite often. I have a son who works away from home 2-3 weeks at a time. I have a grandson who works away from home 2-3 weeks at a time, trying to keep the bills paid. I wonder why, how that is that it didn't work for us that way. It just makes you wonder, again, who works for who? Who's the servant and who's the boss here? And folks, I'm not saying that they don't deserve pay. They do. But the people doing this should not make a whole lot more than the average citizen, because every citizen pays their taxes, pays their salaries. That's the way I see it. Assume they live in poverty. I've said about the same thing about a pastor of a church. A pastor should not live beneath the average individual financially in the church. He's earned his pay. But he should not be treated like a king either, and treated like a royalty, and buying 3 and 4 jets and 4 or 5 homes cross country. No, that's not Bible at all. But here we're seeing another move by the hierarchy, by the elites who get to vote themselves a pay raise just whenever they feel like they need one. Now, Elon Musk is making some changes, folks, in Twitter. Listen to this. San Francisco headquarters, Twitter is being sued by its landlord for ducking out on rent for its downtown San Francisco headquarters, where the platform reportedly went through a heavy cost-cutting under the new CEO, Elon Musk. The company owes $136,260 in unpaid rent, according to the lawsuit filed Thursday by Columbia Property Trust. Twitter's freeloading was reported early last month by the New York Times, which wrote Musk and his advisors hope to renegotiate terms of these lease agreements after mass layoffs. The downsizing has already begun. Twitter closed its Seattle offices, the Times reported Friday, cutting janitorial and security services. Remaining employees were left to bring their own toilet paper to work, according to report. Oh, my. Musk purchased Twitter for $44 billion in October and has been cutting costs ever since. I mean, what Musk committed was a massive drop in revenue. Cleaning and security staff were also laid off from the company's New York and San Francisco offices, where workers were struck for a higher pay. In San Francisco, Musk condensed the company's footprint at 650 California Street from 4 floors to 2, the Times reported. Twitter's San Francisco offices are located in the Hartford building at 650 California Street, California Street. On Christmas Eve, Musk dropped ordered staff out to a data center in Sacramento to shut down key service as a cost-cutting measuring. Meanwhile, layoffs have continued with cuts to the company's infrastructure and public policy divisions last week. Employees have been directed to delay paying contractors or vendors, including accountants and consultants working on key regulatory projects. The company is also being sued for failing to pay almost $200,000 for private charter flights made the week Musk took over. Employees expect more layoffs to come, the report revealed. Well, I can't say right or wrong on that. I guess the boss can do what he wants. I don't know how everybody feels about that, but I guess if it's his company, he can cut what he wants and do what he wants. I don't know what to add to that. It's just the people that depend on that income, whether they actually earn or not, I don't know. I can't speak for how hard they work or don't work. But people that made a living doing that are out of work. Yeah. 15 million Americans set to lose medical coverage as public health emergency ends. I didn't know this was coming up, but I guess this really, when they had a COVID health emergency, people get insurance, then they're no longer going to have it. America is facing a health crisis and isn't made up of bacteria or viruses. Instead, it's an impending medical insurance meltdown. There is an expectation that of January 11th, 2023, an estimated 15 million Americans will begin to lose health coverage. The reason is that after 3 years of COVID-19 public health emergency, the shield of continuous coverage offered by Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, will end. Once the state emergency expires, regular income requirements and restrictions will apply. This will disqualify millions who benefited from congressional legislation passed in 2020, preventing disenrollment for the duration of the COVID pandemic. Healthcare administrators are already bracing for a fallout as the end looms large. The estimated 15 million adults and children will be unenrolled once the health emergency ends, according to analysis from the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. Within the group, 8.2 million will no longer be eligible for Medicaid. Another 5.3 million children won't qualify for CHIP. Barely a third of those in line to be injected into the insurance marketplace will qualify for tax credits or other programs. They'll leave millions in limbo, scrambling to find affordable insurance. With such a high volume of newly uninsured patients, some analysts predict cost increases for doctors' visits, especially in the emergency room. Yeah, I'd say so. Folks, the nation, once you turn the nation over to socialists to play in the nation's economy, this is what you get. The next article is out from Home Depot co-founder Bernie Marcus. I'm going to read what he says, because what he says is right. We started becoming a socialist nation under Roosevelt in the 1930s. And it's gotten a whole lot worse since then. 100 years ago, what we call socialism was not really heard of. Today, it's not only heard of, it's expected. And to be quite honest with you, I depend on a government check that I paid into for many, many years because Social Security said, well, that's your money. Well, not really. If I don't have it in my hand, it's not my money. They can cut off any time they want to, and there's not a thing I can do about it. And you all know that to be true. When you depend on government to feed you, they become your lord. They become your god, so to speak. You don't please your new god. You don't eat. That's the fallacy and the ignorance and the stupidity of becoming a socialist nation. Jeremiah 17:5 says, we put our trust in man, we cursed ourselves. That's the fact of the matter. Like it or lump it, we are now a socialist nation, purely socialist. But Home Depot co-founder Bernie Marcus blamed socialism for generating an entitled labor force that is lazy, fat, and stupid. God bless you, sir, for speaking the truth. Due to the economic agenda of socialism, Marcus told the Financial Times, nobody works. Nobody gives a darn. Just give it to me. Send me the money. I don't want to work. I'm too lazy. I'm too fat. I'm too stupid. And as an alternative, Marcus, 93 years old, explained that capitalism is a good system because it is based on merit. I'm worried about the capitalism, Marcus said. Capitalism is the basis of Home Depot and means that people have earned this success and has success. I'm talking about manufacturers. I'm talking manufacturers, vendors, and distributors, and people that work for us able to enrich themselves by the journey of Home Depot. That's the success. That's why capitalism works. Marcus argued that business is meant to make a profit from offering a service or product. Marcus said a business ability to generate profit benefits employees and customers. He also slammed those who believe that business exists for social purposes. The role of a business is to sell a product and make a profit, he said. The whole idea that a business is set up for social purposes doesn't make sense to me. He's right, folks. Businesses will make a profit. And if they have to raise prices to do so, they'll do that. Marcus added, if he and a co-founder, Arthur Blank, tried to launch Home Depot today in today's society and regulatory environment, it would be less successful. Big government's love of red tape, along with the lackluster labor force, especially hurts small businesses' ability to compete with big business. We would end up with 15, 16 stores, he said. I don't know that we could go further. Home Depot is a successful business. It boasts 2,300 stores in North America. Its market capitalization is $300 billion and generates $150 billion in annual revenue. Mr. Marcus said just right, folks. Socialism causes a lazy, fat, and ignorant, stupid people. There you go. Don't you like it? Turn the radio off. Go out and listen to somebody else. I'm telling you the truth. And if you're not prepared to take care of yourself, and you pin on government to do it, you're going to be very disappointed. If you're not already preparing to yourself financially in every way you can, including call Melody Seastrom and talk to her about some precious metals that you have in your possession, not in a bank safety deposit box, not in some kind of paperwork somewhere that shows that you own gold trading bonds, whatever. No. Real gold and silver in your possession to use for barter or trade or sale, you're not thinking about what's coming in the future. Nothing on paper will be worth anything more than a piece of paper in the very near future. 800-375-4188 to talk to Melody. 800-375-4188. I'm just telling you, folks, I'm telling you the truth because I care. I don't get a salary. I don't radio. I don't get to buy myself a private Learjet because I'm a preacher, a pastor. I drive a 2015 Ford Edge and a 2010 Chevy Silverado. They're paid for and they still run. That's why I still have them. So you see, I don't live in a 20-room mansion. I don't have a tennis court in the backyard or swimming pool. Although my wife would love to have a swimming pool, well, we don't have one. We have a river nearby we can get in if we want to, but no swimming pool in the yard. We're not by any means a wealthy people financially, but I am wealthy in that I have a beautiful wife and a wonderful family and Christ in my heart. What I'm doing here now, because I really want to help people understand what's happening. I really do. I don't want you to think that this is making me big money or Melody. Believe me, Melody's not making big money either. She is about the most fair of anyone I ever talked to when it comes to finances or selling her the precious metals. She absolutely is the most down-to-earth and honest individual I've ever dealt with precious metals. And I mean that seriously. She will not rip you off. She just won't do that. She's just the kind of woman that you want to deal with when it comes to taking care of your finances. After the break, we're going to talk about what Russia is doubling in gold and wine holdings really means. Russia is doubling in its gold holdings and wine holdings with China. It's for a purpose, folks. They're moving towards something we've been talking about for years in this program. They want to do away with the dollar hegemony. They want to do away with the dollar as a world reserve currency. And it's coming piece by piece, bit by bit. No, it's not overnight. But every time a little piece has dropped off, the dollar loses value worldwide. Prices go up here. And if you haven't been to the grocery store lately, go check out prices in the store now. You're going to be shocked at what you see in there. And it's not over yet. As a matter of fact, it's just beginning. It is amazing to me that we become so far in the wrong direction since 1964, especially the last few years. It's amazing. And the people tolerate it as a whole. They do. Worldwide, not just here, worldwide. Russia and China, whether you like them or not, are making smart moves. Back at the break, don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 877-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back. Final segment for this Monday, the second day of January 2023. Again, Melody's phone number, 800-375-4188. Why don't you call and talk to her and ask her what you can do with what you have? You don't be wealthy to get precious metals and put them back, folks. If you put it in savings bonds, you're putting it in 401ks, IRAs, you're gambling with what you got. With precious metals, you may go down in value. But when the dollar goes and when the paper goes, it's worth nothing. Precious metals are always worth something because it's tangible and it's precious metals. It's like owning collateral and owning things in the way of ammo and food and guns. They're always worth something. Always worth something. They never go to nothing. Paper does and is. I mean, why else would you think that Russia and China won't do away with the dollar? On Friday, Russia's finance minister announced that their national wealth fund is now permitted to allocate up to 60% of its holdings in Chinese yuan, up to 40% of its holdings in gold bullion. This is a doubling permitted allocation percentage up to 30 to 20%. Simultaneously, the funds reduced its holdings of the British pound and the Japanese yen to zero. Repeat that. The fund reduces holdings of the British pound and the Japanese yen to zero. Russia's finance ministry on Friday said the maximum possible share of Chinese yuan in its national wealth fund has been doubled to 60% as it reconstructs its rainy day fund to reduce dependency on currencies from so-called unfriendly nations. The NWF had been recently used to finance a widespread budget deficit of 2022 due to no small part to the sanctions by the G7. Official statement out of the ministry reads in part like this. The Russian finance ministry has continued its consistent reduction of the share of currencies of unfriendly states in the structure of their national wealth funds as assets. The news agency notes that these measures are in no small part a counter to the sanctions by Western nations. I think America and Europe bit off more than can chew trying to sanction Russia. I don't think they. I know they did. Europeans are suffering in a lot of different ways, including keeping themselves warm now because of these so-called sanctions. Wow. 266,000 migrants apprehended in 2 months in Texas-based border sectors. Folks, do you know, under the Biden administration, we have about 5 million, since he's been in office, come across the border and turn loose into the country. 5 million illegals, undocumented, if you want to call them illegals, is the right word for it. And some seeking sanctuary. 5 million. This nation cannot absorb 5 million in the last, 2 years? It can't do it. But they're bringing them in. Border Patrol agents in the five Texas-based sectors apprehended more than 266,000 migrants in the first 2 months of the new fiscal year. Nearly 107,000 of these entered through the El Paso sector. El Paso Sector Chief Patrol Agent Peter Juarez reports the increasing number of migrants crossing into El Paso sector. During the first 2 months of fiscal year 23, which began October 1st, El Paso sector agents apprehended 106,561 migrants, according to the November Southwest Land Border and County report released on Friday night before Christmas. This is up more than 260% from the 29,539 apprehended in the same period last year. It's anticipated that more than 50,000 migrants will be apprehended in December. Up more than 260%, folks, in a year. That is horrendous. There is no way that we can absorb and keep absorbing this. There's no way. Only, I don't hate to use the word liberal, but only idiots, period, can believe that we can do that. And I don't think, and the ones who are letting it happen, no, we can't, but they don't care. They want this country brought down to her knees. When they're getting it done, one day at a time, one step at a time, while most people sit back and watch, wait for the Super Bowl, whenever that is, where it's going to be, I don't know. Who's going to play, I don't know. I have no idea. Not saying, not making fun of the ones who do, but I have no idea. That is not what I get into. What I get into is being a pastor and a preacher and doing what I'm doing right now. California's crazy new year. Five radical laws go into effect. You're not going to believe all these. This is unbelievable. I'm not going to share the whole thing. I don't have time. But Senate Bill 107 will be signed into law. It's sanctuary state for transgender kids. Mm-hmm. This law, signed by Gavin Newsom in September, protects the use of drugs or surgery to provide so-called gender-affirming care to children from other states where the use of such treatments is restricted for or criminalized. My goodness. It prohibits doctors from releasing information to other states and prohibits the California courts interfering in child custody over such treatments. AB 2098, COVID misinformation. This law, signed in September, requires California medical licensing boards to take disciplinary action against doctors who are involved with the dissemination of misinformation or disinformation related to SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. Or the law does not, anyway, it goes, folks, this, I'm reading it, this is unbelievable. You love this, you love the next one. AB 2147, decriminalizing jaywalking because of racism. This law called the Freedom to Walk Act. My gosh. Presumes that jaywalking is a racist crime because it's supposedly enforced unevenly by the nation's most left-wing state and communities of color where people supposedly cannot afford to pay the fines. The law prevents police from stopping people who are crossing the street legally unless they are in danger. What do you think jaywalking laws are about, folks? SB 1375, allowing nurses to perform abortions without doctors. I won't get through all that. There's no point in going through all that. SB 357, decriminalizing loitering for prostitution. I didn't stutter. This law and other state senator Scott Wiener decriminalized loitering in public for the purpose of committing prostitution. Wow. This one's on hold right now. It's AB 257. It's on hold right now. State control, repeat that, state control of fast food restaurants. As reported last year by Breitbart News, this law creates a 10-member Politburo, known as a fast food council, which would serve for 10 years and would set wages and working conditions for the fast food industry. Wow. SB 1327, allowing private citizens to sue for gun violations. This law took effect on January 1st, though it was particularly blocked by San Diego, partially blocked by San Diego judge. It allows private citizens to sue each other over alleged violations of the state's gun laws. Oh, folks, you live in California. How do you stand it? How do you stand it? I just don't know. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says Pentagon threatening to assassinate Putin. And I've heard that before in other places, so I don't doubt that what is true. Lavrov said on Tuesday, lashed out at the what he described as threats coming out of the U.S. to assassinate President Vladimir Putin, apparently in response to a slew of anonymously sourced reports. There are some anonymous officials from the Pentagon who've actually enunciated threats to deliver a decapitating strike on the Kremlin, which is in fact an assassination against the Russian president. If someone really has such ideas, then this someone should think long and hard about the possible consequences of such plans. The condemnation also came less than a week after Senator Lindsey Graham called for someone to take out the Russian president for the war in Ukraine to end. Wow. But it appears Lavrov specifically had in mind a September report published in Newsweek, which replied on anonymous U.S. defense officials, describing that Biden's administration was mulling plans for a decapitation strike to kill Putin in the heart of the Kremlin. Boy, if that isn't poking the bear in the face, I don't know what is. Keeps growing and growing and growing. 2023 could be a very interesting and devastating year. Serbia puts troops on full combat readiness as main Kosovo border crossing shut. Serbian officials announced this week that the National Army has been put on the highest possible level of alert as border tensions with breakaway Kosovo have soared to a boiling point. And after roadblocks were set up by the Serbian minority living within Kosovo, which they don't recognize as a legitimate state, following weeks of at times the tit for tat clashes between Serbian protesters and the Kosovo police, Serbia said Monday its forces have been put on a full state of combat readiness. After President Aleksandar Vučić ordered that all measures be taken to protect the Serbian people in Kosovo. Serbia's president ordered the Serbian army to be on the highest level of combat readiness, that is to the level of use of armed force, Serbia's defense minister Milos Vucevic announced of the raised alert level. The president also ordered a special Serbian security response unit to be beefed up, which is the result of thousands of elite troops being positioned near the restive border. In response, on Wednesday, Kosovo authorities closed the biggest border crossing. Serb protesters were already blocking it, including it with large trucks, leaving only three entry points between the two sides open. Some entry points have been blocked since early December. As a result, thousands of Kosovars who work elsewhere in Europe have been unable to travel home and are stuck at the border. On the other side, inside the northern Kosovo, are some 50,000 ethnic Serbs who say they are persecuted by Russian Pristina authorities, including an attempt to force Kosovo vehicle plates and state documentation on them. It's heating up, folks. It is heating up. And I don't know how else to put it. This war is not dying down. This unrest in the East is not dying down. There's just no other way to say it. It seems to be like there's no end in sight. I don't know what else to say. It's just sad. You're going to like this one. NASA boss. China could claim the moon as its territory and ban USA from landing there. The head of NASA is worried China may claim the moon as its own territory and prevent the U.S. from landing there again. The U.S. folks have not landed there once yet. And I can prove it. I won't say it. It is a fact. We're in a space race. The current NASA administration, Bill Nielsen, said in an interview, you know, it amazes me that 1968, when they supposedly landed on the moon, that's been over 50 years ago, 54, 55 years ago. And technology was one-tenth of what it is now, maybe less. And we can't do it now? Who in the right mind would believe that will believe this happened in 1968 after knowing this. But anyway, and it's true that we better watch out that they, China, don't get to place on to a place on the moon under the guise of scientific research. And it's not beyond the realm of possibility that they say, keep out, we're here, this is our territory. Nelson, who was appointed to the top job at NASA by President Biden in 2021, claimed he and others are increasingly concerned about China's plans for lunar exploration. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson was appointed to the job, he said, in 2021. The country's space presence has already massively over the past few years, and in 2019 it became the first country to explore the far side of the moon with the Chang 4 probe. But according to Nelson, the communist nation could be planning to corner the market on resource-rich locations on the moon's surface. It could then try to block out the U.S. and other countries from setting up lunar bases and carrying out other activities there. Insanity, insanity, insanity. It just amazes me. Doesn't shock me. Doesn't really surprise me. Just amazes me. I don't have time to get through this article in detail, but after 100,000 migrants arrived in 2022, Italy set up to take action against NGO ferry boats. That's non-governmental organization ferry boats. Meloni's government, bless her heart, will force NGO ships flying flags from countries like France, Germany, Norway to accept the migrants they pick up in the Mediterranean Sea. The threshold of 100,000 illegal migrants who arrived by the sea in Italy this year was crossed on December 21st. The numbers are not only a symbolic milestone, but also serving as a call to action for Italy's conservative government. So, in other words, they're saying, you pick them up, that's fine. You take them to your own countries. Don't bring them here. I like this lady. I do. I've said I like this lady. So, if you want to pick them up, you do so. But you take them to your own country. Don't bother us. Folks, we've played out of time. I'll be back with you Wednesday. Melody will be here tomorrow, I'm sure, with Dave. Y'all have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.